This is the NCARB podcast, where you get an inside look at licensure, regulation, and the initiatives shaping the future of architectural practice. I'm your host, Andy McIntyre, Vice President of Marketing and Communications at NCARB. And this season, we're diving into Pathways to Practice, NCARB's multi-year effort to rethink how architects become licensed.
Architecture is the hardware to the software of life, right? It is fundamentally about that interaction, and it makes life easier if we have a built environment that works.
Across 8 episodes, we'll explore how licensure got to where it is today and where it needs to go next. We talk with architects, educators, regulators, and NCARB leaders about education, experience, and the exam, and why each of those pillars is evolving.
And that portion of school where you go from conceptual to real is also really challenging. It's not something you're really gently moved into. It's kind of like you're doing something that's flowy and crazy, and all of a sudden, wait, you actually have to make this work.
You'll hear how the NCARB competency standard was developed, how research is shaping future licensure models, and what a more flexible, competency-based approach could mean for candidates from a wide range of backgrounds.
So we've seen that in our data as the number of reciprocal licenses starts to decrease a little bit, but that number of individuals who are licensed holds steady.
We also tackle the big questions. Why does licensure look the way it does today? Where do candidates face the biggest barriers? And how can we expand access without lowering standards?
Not everybody fits into the same mold. And so having different pathways to licensure, I think, is really important.
Whether you're a licensure candidate, an educator, a firm leader, or a regulator, this season offers clarity, context, and transparency into one of the most important conversations facing the profession.
Does this requirement to complete all divisions of the exam place an unfair burden on any one group or other?
This is Pathways to Practice, only on the NCARB podcast. Please follow the link in the show notes, subscribe now, and join us as we explore the future of architectural licensure.
Hi, y'all, and welcome to another episode of She Builds Charrettes.
As a reminder, in the Charrettes, we talk more about certain topics, make major announcements, conduct interviews. Basically, She Builds Charrettes is our playground for things outside of our typical format.
Today, joining Jessica and me is a very special guest, Bryce Batts. She is the co-founder of Career Collective, an AEC staffing company. We met at the 2025 AIA conference, and we quickly connected discussing the profession of architecture and career goals, and we have been continuing that conversation ever since. First, on her podcast, Women in AEC, Wine After Work, and today, here on She Builds Podcast, where we will be sharing details on her upcoming book, The Career Architect, How to Build a Career That Aligns with Your Vision and Values. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it does. Welcome, Bryce, and congrats on your new book. So exciting.
Yay!
Thank you so much. Thank you both for having me on the podcast. So fun to be on this side of things. And I know this is not your typical recording, so I appreciate it.
Yes, it's fun. Two things. We love talking about architecture. We love talking about books. Three things. We love talking about books on architecture. So this is a win-win all around.
Perfect.
So, Bryce, we like to start our charrettes when we have guests. We would ask them to share a fun fact about yourself for our listeners to know you a little bit better. So what's a fun fact about you?
Okay, this is the first thing that came to mind. My fun fact is that I grew up on a farm. Oh. I'm from Eastern North Carolina and grew up on a pig farm. We did have cows later on, and then we did some tobacco and soybean, corn farming as well. We did have crops, but pigs were our big thing. And just recently, my dad has leased out his farm. He's in his 70s now, and it was his dad's farm. And so, long line of farmers here.
Now, that's a fun fact.
Yeah.
I'm not carrying the torch on.
That was my next question.
Nope. No, the farming ends here. That's right.
Okay. I really like piggies.
I can't even keep a plant alive. I do have a dog. I take good care of him, but I don't think I could have multiple animals.
Fair.
What about, do you have siblings? Do they want to take it on?
I do. I have a younger brother, and he's really not interested either. So, you know.
Something must have happened. You're like, you know what? It's okay.
We're done.
It's okay. It's okay. So you're not a farmer.
No. Nope.
You are a career coach. How did you get started doing that?
Yeah, so I've been a recruiter for over 15 years and during COVID got my career coaching certification because like many people, you know, I was like, what's next? I actually had time to kind of slow down and think during COVID and decided I would get my certification because then it not only would it help me in guiding my career, but then I could help others in guiding theirs. And so left the recruiting job I was at, was coaching and started Career Collective, which I co-founded with my business partner, Edwin. And we both worked for the previous firm and started Career Collective and brought coaching in-house. So primarily what we do is recruiting, but we do coaching as well.
So what inspired you to start doing that? Okay, you decided not to be in the firm, but how'd you get into the AEC specifically, the AEC industry specifically?
Yeah. So my husband and I have been married 20 years, but we met at senior year of college and he went to school for architecture and then switched to landscape architecture. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's a principal now, but we moved down to Fort Lauderdale. He got a great job with a great firm. And, you know, I was so envious that someone would just kind of grow up knowing what they wanted to do and then go to school for that and then do it. I was like, gosh, this seems just way too simple because this isn't how my brain works. And so I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to do and went and got my MBA. And I tell that story in the book because it's not like I needed to get my master's degree and it cost a lot of money, but it did allow me to meet a friend of mine. Her name's Lynn, and she was working for this AEC recruiting company. And she said, I think you'll really like recruiting. It's kind of sales, but, you know, you're helping people find a job. And she's like, it's what your boyfriend does. He's in that industry. So I think you should do it. And I was like, all right, sounds good. I'll try it. And I did fall in love with recruiting. I do love helping people. Recruiting is, I think it works really well if you're also competitive. So I like a challenge. I am competitive and helping clients, you know, find the purple unicorn is what we do. And I enjoy that.
That's great. And now we are here. And you mentioned your book. So yes, let's get into that. So your book, why this book right now? And like, why now? Like what led you to write The Career Architect?
Yeah, great question. I had been thinking about a lot of these stories in my head for a while, so it was really fun to put them down on paper. And I, like you, had so many great people on the podcast, and I kept picking up things from their stories, you know, and that most people, their career path is not linear. I was like, okay, it's not just me who, you know, had no idea what I wanted to do. And I think as women, we're constantly trying to please other people. You know, we've got external pressures, our own internal doubts, and then systemic barriers that prevent us from making independent decisions. And it's really easy to lose your way. And so, you know, early on in my career, when I would think, well, what am I passionate about? It was so hard for me to even answer that. I'm like, I don't know. What am I passionate about? And so I think that's when it's really important to, you know, have self-reflection and get clear on what those values are. And so you can create your vision and design your life. So I just think a lot of women and people in general feel stuck, aren't happy. You just keep going down this road and you don't know where it's going to lead, but you feel like that's what you need to do. And then you look up later and you're like, why am I even doing this? I don't love what I'm doing. So I wanted to weave in all those stories from the podcast and then things I've been through in my own career. You know, maybe it's my own midlife crisis. I don't know. I'm 46, so it's all on paper now.
No, it's great. I think just from the title of the book and hearing you write it and even sharing your story about how you went into career coaching, I feel like what I'm seeing now, especially amongst the women that I know, at least, maybe it's coincidental, but they're at this crossroads of, you know, they've been working in the industry for so many years. They went through COVID and seeing how the industry either changed for the better or the worse, or their employers. And it's got them rethinking their careers and their next steps. And then now, at least within like Nordria and I and Lizzie, we're in our mid-30s. And now as we start to think about family planning, and now that we've been in the industry for a while and gotten our licenses, like, what's the next step? So seeing those conversations, in my mind, I was like, Bryce, this book is like right on time for a lot of people.
Well, thank you. And I feel like you guys are right in the thick of it because, you know, I forget the number, but there's a staggering statistic that most women in architecture leave their jobs between year 10 and year 20.
Yeah.
And it is because of all those pressures of raising a family.
Yeah.
Maybe taking care of their parents.
Yep.
Not having a clear path forward in their career in architecture. And then also, as you know, it's a very deadline-driven environment and the hours that you have to work. So I think a lot of firms are not doing it the right way. There's some that are, and I think firms are starting to get it and make changes. But yeah, I think that's why a lot of women that you're seeing at that pivotal point of their career where they should be rising
are
maybe deciding like, I don't even want to do this anymore. I want to get out.
I mean, I'm in marketing now. For that, I made that decision earlier. But yes, so totally understand. So Bryce, was there anything that you discovered about yourself while you were writing this book?
Oh, yes. Great question. The creative part of it was so fun. And I used to tell myself, I'm not a creative person. But then looking back, I always enjoyed creating things for social media. I was a dancer growing up. So I had creative outlets. And I think the creative piece of it was really fun, just putting it together and then revisiting the podcast and listening to those women's stories. I can tell you the scariest part, and it launches October 1st. So, you know, we're recording towards the end of September, have another week or two. I kept this book so top secret.
Yeah, you
did. I told no one. And so when I had to start telling people, because I'm like, oh gosh, well, if I'm going to actually publish it, I have to tell people. That's when, for me, the imposter syndrome set in. Like, hey, I wrote a book and I want you to read it. And so just getting over myself and telling people. My friends were like, when did you do this? Why didn't you tell us? So I was like, well, I wanted to make sure it got done first before I told anyone.
How long did it take you? Or like when you made the decision, I'm writing a book, to like getting it out or starting to tell people about it?
Yeah, you know, I started having calls with some people. Valerie, who's helping me with the launch team, she's been really great, and said, like, here's my idea. This is what I'm thinking. Will it work? And then I kind of just started writing, and I would say it took about a year.
So you've been keeping this secret for a year?
Yes, Jessica.
Oh, my God.
I don't think Jessica could keep a secret for a year.
I can't. At least like, five people would know.
I hear what you're saying about the creative process, because you're putting yourself out there, and that's really vulnerable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's something I think about, too. Like, what are people going to think? I'm not a writer, but it's really inspiring that you just pushed through that and now we're getting the book, because you're putting a lot of really good information out there that, like Jessica said, is really timely and it speaks to us. Mm-hmm. So thank you for doing that.
Yes.
Well, you're welcome. I think it's really easy for all of us to say, well, so-and-so has already done it. It's been done. They've done it better. But we are each unique individuals. And I'm coming from a perspective of the AEC industry and as a recruiter and career coach. And so, yes, I can provide a different perspective than other people. Have many people written career books? For sure. But hopefully this is a different angle that's going to, you know, shed new light on your career.
Yeah. So like I was telling you, I don't know if I'm supposed to say, we can edit this out later if you want, but I got a little sneak peek. I've been reading the book.
You can totally say that. Yes.
Okay, good. The secret is out.
Valerie sent out a 50-page sneak peek, which honestly, I was like, well, that's a lot of pages for people to read.
I was shocked. I was like, oh, man, I was expecting like an expert.
Is it? I disagree.
Well, it's not
enough. It's not enough.
But it's definitely not enough once you start reading it. But once you get it, you're like, oh, I was expecting
pretty like, meaty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Valerie.
Hey there, architecture enthusiast. Nikita Reed here, inviting you on an incredible journey through time and space with my podcast, Tangible Remnants. Historic preservation and sustainability? Let's go ahead right now and debunk the myth that they are opposites. In fact, they are two sides of the same coin, shaping our collective future.
In a work environment, it has been challenging because I've had to probably do more than double just to make sure that I quote unquote fit in. But the environments that have allowed me to do me on the front end, I've been extremely successful.
You look at all these PhDs, they've built that on the backs of our elders.
Absolutely.
What they consider themselves to be experts at is what they've worked with us to achieve.
I know we have to prioritize people before products and before place.
Join me as we unravel the stories of historic buildings shaped by the people of a specific era and often influenced by race and gender. These tangible remnants are windows into our past and guideposts for the future. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe now to Tangible Remnants. Let's explore the interconnectedness of architecture, preservation, sustainability, race, and gender.
I wanted to know if you could please talk a little bit more about the why not me mentality, because it resonates with what we've been saying right now. Like, why can't I do this? I thought it was a different reframing for your brain. So anyway, can you talk about that? What does why not me mentality mean, and how has that helped you shape your book and your career?
Yeah, I had Marissa on the podcast, and she said, this is my why not me era. And I was totally fell in love with that saying, because if we're not going to do it for ourselves, no one's going to do it for us. As Mel Robbins says, you know, no one's coming to save you. You've got to make the way for yourself. And I think if you start asking, why not me? Why wouldn't I do it? And stop telling yourself all the limitations that you have. And instead, as Marie Forleo says, everything's figure outable. So how can you just put one foot in front of another and start figuring it out and making a way for yourself? And honestly, like, why not any of us? Some of us have more advantages than others, for sure, more money, more education. But I find a lot of times it's not about how smart you are, you know, sometimes not your leg up, but it's just, are you willing to do the work? Are you willing to head down, put the work in, and stay consistent? Because to me, that's really key. So I think we should all be asking, why not me?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also that goes into career autonomy, right? Like, we have to take autonomy of our career. There were just such little nuggets in there, like, why not me? Career autonomy. The way that you say things in the book, I really enjoyed. So I wanted to know also, can you talk about what is career autonomy and how do we get there? I think you've already said it, like putting one foot in front of the other. But if you would like to expand a little on that so people get an idea of what they're going to see in the book.
Yeah, I think it's laying out that blueprint first for really what you want for your life and designing that. Deciding, and I give a link in the book to Brené Brown's values, you know, deciding, okay, what are my values? And so what's important to me and how do I design my career from there? And I think we all want autonomy and choosing the type of career. And then within our roles, we want that autonomy to do work we love and do it how we like to do it. So finding a company that will value that and allow you to work in a way that you want to work. And I mentioned this in the book too, even in starting Career Collective, I had to set boundaries. I had to find my own autonomy because my partner is a single man, no children. Meanwhile, I have a family. So we're coming from very different places. I had worked from home for 12 years and did what I needed to do. And suddenly starting the company, we hired people and we've grown fast, which has been great. But I had to learn how to be a leader. And I had to learn boundaries around my time all over again because I was primarily in the office and leading a team. And I was comparing myself to what my business partner was doing. And it's not sustainable. We you know, we have very different path or roles here. And, you know, I think that's why it works so well, because we are very yin and yang, and then we bring different strengths. So I think even if you're running your own business, you have to find autonomy in what works for you.
And you mentioned something that made me think of this. When you are finding all of that, when you're doing the self-reflection, how do you do it yourself? Do you journal? And I also like the idea, because we think, oh, we do this once and now we're done. No, like how often do you do this, and how do you do it?
Yeah, great question. And it is a lifelong journey. You know, we're always reading books and listening to podcasts. And, you know, I think that's the self-improvement journey that you can never stop. But for me, I do like to journal. I have just a 5-minute journal. You can get them on Amazon. It's a gratitude journal.
I have that one.
Yeah, it gives you prompts for the morning and prompts for night. And I'm the type of person, I want to get up, I want to, you know, write my journal, and then I'm going to the gym. And I'm having that time to myself before I take kids to school and then come into the office. But then I also like to meditate when I can. And for me, it's hard for me to slow down. So sometimes it's just like a meditation before I go to sleep. And other times it's a walking meditation. So I'm outside in nature, or even just doing a walk with nothing on gives me time to think. So those are the things that really help me. So journaling, meditating, moving my body, and getting outside. And I feel like that gets your mind going, allows you to clear your thoughts. And, you know, it's hard to have ideas sometimes when you're chained to your desk all day. And that's why I think people go on vacation and they're like, oh, all right. They have some brilliant ideas about what will work in their career or at work. And even in high school, this AP English class I was in, we such a small school, and our class for this size, or that particular class was really small in size. We would say, you know, our bathroom breaks were when we had our bright ideas, because you would leave the classroom, then you'd come back with something really good. So I learned then even that you have to take breaks.
Yeah.
Bryce, how old are your kids?
15. So my oldest one has her driving permit now. So that's frightening. Yeah. And then my younger one's 11. So I have officially a middle schooler and a high schooler. And no, really, she's a good driver. But when she first started, I was like, oh, I don't know how I can do this.
I asked because lately I've been thinking, I want to find time to do the things you just said, like wake up, journal, go to the gym. But I thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that, because when I have kids, I won't be waking up that early. But now I'm hearing a mom that's doing it. So It can be done.
Najdi, you used to wake up early to study before work.
You're right.
It's just getting back in the groove of it.
Yeah, I don't know how you did it. Because for me, so I do have the 5-minute journal. And what I do is I sit at a desk at an office. So when I get settled, when I'm like sipping my coffee, reading my emails, that's when I take a break and I'll do like the 5-minute journal to kind of set the tone. It also gives me an idea of my to-do list for the morning.
Yeah.
For the rest of the day. And then what has been helpful for me is that I work out after work.
Yeah.
So like when I do, like I walk on sometimes I'll walk on the treadmill, or I'll sit in the sauna for like 10 minutes.
Oh, I love the sauna.
So yes, me too. It's been my favorite. It's like, this is why I have a gym membership for this part.
Yeah.
But that has been a really good reflective where I'll write. So I'll write. Usually I'm actually reviewing things for the podcast during those 10 minutes. It's like these 10 minutes dedicated to like, I try to, what's it called? Like habit stacking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that could be helpful. And then on my drive home, since I have a long drive, usually I'll do that. I don't know about being in silence too much, but that's because my brain is just always working on multiple things. So,
yeah.
But listening to something while I'm thinking about other things has been helpful.
I know. That's what I like to do too. My husband's like, you're constantly listening to something, because I'll have an audiobook or, you know, a podcast on. I'm like, well, I like to listen and learn. But sometimes I find I just get overwhelmed with, it's like you've got Slack and Teams and personal email and work email. And I'm like, oh, okay. I just need a quiet moment.
Oh, I just had to flip over my phone just because of all the messages coming in.
Yes, okay. Exactly. But Nordra, I think you find your rhythm, and the seasons change. You know, when my kids were little, it definitely looked different. And sometimes it was like strapping one of them to my chest and like walking to the park and back. And I'm like, okay, we got some steps in and we got sunshine. You know, it's like you just do what you can, but they're much more self-efficient now. They can cook and they can clean.
They can walk themselves.
They can wipe their own butts, so that's all.
That's so true. That's so true.
And in a few short moments, your oldest will be just driving herself.
Oh my gosh, I know. And in some ways, it will be so helpful because I feel like all I do is taxi them around. And in other ways, I'm like, well, we have our good conversations in the car. And so, you know, things are always changing, work and life, right?
That's true. All right. So where can listeners find your book and follow your work?
Yeah, so they can find the book on Amazon. As I said, it's launching October 1st. And I do have a personal website. It's brycebatz.co. They can find out about the book, the podcast, my consulting work. And then our company website is mycareercollective.com. And I will say I'm always on LinkedIn. I love to connect with people there. They can always shoot me a message. And I love to schedule a quick call with people and see how I can help.
So would your website and LinkedIn be the best way to connect with you? Or what about Instagram or other socials?
Yeah, I am on Instagram. And I share more of my personal life there. So if you want to see my dog and my kids, head over there. If you're in it for more of the business content, LinkedIn is where it's at.
Gotcha. All right. So, oh my gosh, this conversation just flew by. We are actually reaching towards the end of our charrette. So at the end of our regular episodes, we always pick a caryatid or a woman who's working today, holding up the profession. So Bryce, who is a caryatid whose work you're admiring right now?
Okay, so I'll give you someone not in the AEC profession.
Let's do it.
And I tell this story in my book about having a store for a while, and it was so much fun. But I've met this girl named Jess Ekstrom. She was selling headbands. They were called Headbands of Hope, and they were for kids with cancer to make them feel beautiful. And, of course, I bought her headbands, and my kids wore them and sold them in my store. Well, now she owns Mic Drop Workshop and then the Mic Drop Club. And she is a speaker. I think she owns like a 7-figure speaking business and she's got books. And so I have just enjoyed following her journey so much. And now she's a mom. And I think public speaking can be so scary. And to see her making a way for women, and she wants to see more women on stages.
Love it.
So I love her mission. I love following what she's doing. So if you don't know her, go check her out. And she's in all the places, LinkedIn, Instagram, everywhere.
Okay. We'll definitely have to share
that.
Yeah.
We'll ask you to send, like, write us her name and everything so we can include her on the show notes.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do.
Does she still sell headbands?
You know, I don't think she does anymore, but it's possible she still has them.
Or she might, if you become friends with her, she might have a stash.
Yes. So true.
We'll see. Well, Bryce, this has been so great. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been, like Jessica said, it just flew by. Such a great conversation.
Yeah.
Well, I can't thank you both enough for what you're doing with the show and in your own professions. And thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.
Yeah.
Of course.
We can't wait to read your book, listeners.
Fully.
Yes. Listeners, be on the lookout October 1st to buy Bryce's book and continue building a career that aligns with your vision and values.
Thank you.
Well, I really enjoyed this charrette. Hope all of you out there listening enjoyed it too. Please let us know what topics you would like us to have a charrette on, and you might hear a future episode based on your suggestion.
Before we say goodbye, we also want to say thank you to CMYK for the music, John W., our technical advisor, and most of all, thank you for listening.
Remember to check out our show notes for links and further information on this charrette.
Please let us know what you thought of our episode. If you enjoyed it, please help us spread the word. Tell your friends, your colleagues, tell them all. Also, give us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify. and write us a review, please. This all helps us reach a wider audience and for more people to learn about these amazing ladies with us.
Your support means everything to us. If you've enjoyed our content and want other ways to help us with our mission, you can support us by visiting our website for merchandise.
If you don't need any more swag, but you'd still like to consider supporting the research we're doing, you can donate to us on our website at shebuildspodcast.com/donate. Or you can buy us coffee at buymecoffee.com/shebuildspodcast. You can also find links to all of these items on our website.
She Builds Podcast is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. Gable Media is curated thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at gablemedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com.
We are excited to hear from you and for you to come back and keep learning about bosses with us. You can email us your thoughts at shebuildspodcast@gmail.com. Leave a comment on our website, shebuildspodcast.com, or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at shebuildspodcast and on X at shebuildspod. Bye.
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 Hey there, architecture enthusiast. Nikita Reed here, inviting you on an incredible journey through time and space with my podcast, Tangible Remnants. Historic preservation and sustainability? Let's go ahead right now and debunk the myth that they are opposites. In fact, they are two sides of the same coin, shaping our collective future.
In a work environment, it has been challenging because I've had to probably do more than double just to make sure that I quote unquote fit in. But the environments that have allowed me to do me on the front end, I've been extremely successful.
You look at all these PhDs, they've built that on the backs of our elders.
Absolutely.
What they consider themselves to be experts at is what they've worked with us to achieve.
I know we have to. We have to prioritize people before products and before place.
Join me as we unravel the stories of historic buildings shaped by the people of a specific era and often influenced by race and gender. These tangible remnants are windows into our past and guideposts for the future. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe now to Tangible Remnants. Let's explore the interconnectedness of architecture, preservation, sustainability, race, and gender.